Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Emmanuel Bible Church. My name is Pastor Mark Hazen. I'm delighted to be with you this morning and glad that you're here and looking forward to our time of worship together. You know, nearly every morning, Lynn and I get up and we have breakfast together. And as we do that, we thank the Lord. And I thank the Lord daily for the gift of life and the gift of the day and the gift of food. And then I think that through where every day I'm thanking the Lord continually for things that we receive as gifts every day. And then I come here on Sunday and I think, man, every Sunday I'm like, I'm glad to be here, glad that you're here. Thank the Lord that we're together. And maybe my opening prayer sounds very similar, but we are just genuinely delighted to gather together in the Lord's name and to sing praise to his name and to hear from his word and to enjoy fellowship with one another. So let's begin our service by doing that. Let's begin our service by thanking the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do come before you again this morning, and we are grateful for the fact that you have given us life. You give us life. You're the author of our life. You sustain our life. You guide and direct our paths as we trust in you. You are reliable, faithful. Father, we thank you for the gifts that we've experienced already today, for the life that you've given. We thank you for the fact that this is Sunday morning, the first day of the week for us. We are genuinely grateful just once again for the privilege of gathering together to sing praise to your name, to receive from your word, to be blessed by the fellowship. And we pray that as a result of this service, that you would be pleased, that you would be honored, that you would be exalted, that we would be greatly encouraged and strengthened in our faith. We just pray for this time as we present ourselves to you and present this service to you, that in all of it, you'll be honored. Father, we recognize that we come to you again and again and again and to make requests of you. And as we do that, we reveal that you are the never-ending fount that you are of blessing and of goodness. And so we thank you for that. We thank you that you have blessed us most significantly and immeasurably through the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that though we were estranged from you through Christ and through faith in him, we have been brought near, been brought right into your family, adopted as your very own. And so we thank you for Jesus Christ and for the salvation that you've offered us in him. Father, now as we sing praise to your name, receive these praises from our lips. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. My name's Kyle. I'm one of the elders here at Emmanuel. It's my pleasure to read from Psalm 111 this morning. This is coming to you from the CSB Holman version. Hallelujah. I will praise the Lord with all my heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The Lord's works are great, studied by all who delight in them. All that he does is splendid and majestic. His righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has provided food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works by giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his instructions are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in truth and in uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. His name is holy and awe-inspiring. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his instructions have good insight. His praise endures forever. Now let's pray. Father, you truly are great, and you're worthy of all the praise that we can give you, and certainly more, Father. I just pray that you are pleased with our praise and our worship of you. I just pray that it's well received, Lord. I just pray that we would continue to praise you throughout the week, and just beyond Sunday, because you are certainly worthy of that, Father. We just love you, and we're just grateful for all the blessings that you have bestowed on us here at this church and in our lives, Father. And we're just grateful for your Son. We're grateful for the gift and the grace that you've given to us through your Son, Jesus. I just pray that you would continue to conform us into the image of your Son, Father. We just love you, and we're just so grateful to just have a God as great as you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning once again. My name is Pastor Mark, and again, glad to be here and delighted to lead you in the Word this morning. Thank you, musicians, for leading us in music, both instrumentalists and singers. I appreciate the music that you have chosen that corresponds with our sermon series so well. Well, this is, if you're keeping with the summer reading program that we established at the beginning of the summer, this would be week number 12 that we just completed. This week we had read Psalm 111 through 119. On Thursday morning, you would have read the shortest psalm in the Bible, shortest chapter in the Bible, And on Friday morning, you would have read Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible. Wonder how many of you persevered with that. Hope you did. Trust that you did. It's excellent stuff. If you have your Bible with you, take your Bible out and turn to that passage of Scripture, that whole area, Psalm 111 through 119. And as you're finding your place there, let me just project on the screen kind of many messages coming from those chapters that I read with you this past week. Psalm 111, God is great and His works are wonderful. His works are studied by all who delight in them. One of our elders, Kyle Sissel, read that earlier in the service, Psalm 111. Psalm 112, the desire of the upright shall be realized. The desire of the wicked shall perish. But blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord. Psalm 113, praise the Lord now and forevermore. Praise the Lord all day, every day. His glory is above everything, all things. Psalm 114, God rules the earth. He is sovereign over His creation, all that He has made. Psalm 115, trust in the Lord. He alone is God. There is no other. He blesses all who trust in Him. Psalms 116, how shall we repay God for all of His goodness to us? That's a big question. How shall we repay God for all of His benefits that He bestows on us day by day by day? How do we repay God? By returning for more. Going back and asking for more and more and more, revealing Him to be the ever, never-ending fount of all blessings. Psalms 117. Well, we don't need to have a summary of that. Psalms 117 is so short. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples. For great is His steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. That's the entire psalm. So great is His steadfast love. His faithfulness endures forever. Psalms 118. God is good. The Lord is my strength, my song, and my salvation. Psalms 119, the long psalm. God's word is a treasure of infinite worth. And then Psalms 120, the last psalm we had read on Friday evening, if we stay with the program, God is a refuge, the source of our peace. Well, those are the 10 chapters we read this week, and those are 10 messages coming from those 10 psalms. What message would you choose? If you had, you know, if you were reading the 10 psalms and you had to decide, you're going to pick one of those psalms, you're going to bring a message in that psalm, what psalm would you pick? What message would you choose, and how would you develop it and deliver it? Well, you don't know? Me neither. This has been the challenge of this entire series. This has been the challenge, because every one of those psalms has a message that could be developed and preached. Every one. And so I've got to run ahead earlier in the week, because I got to figure out where I'm going before Saturday. And so this has been the challenge to pick a psalm out and bring it, think it through and develop for you. This week I've chosen Psalm 119. So you can turn in your Bible there to Psalm 119. As I mentioned already, and as you already know, Psalms 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. It is longer than several books of the Bible. It's longer than some of the minor prophets that we see in the end of the Old Testament. It's longer than many of the epistles that we read in the New Testament. It makes me wonder how many of you might have been tempted to skip Friday morning's reading because of its length. I'm also guessing that none of you figured I would bring a message from Psalm 119, given its length. And some of you may be nervous. We got 176 verses, and you might think you might be here all afternoon. Well, that's not true. I'll show you how to bring the shortest message from the longest book of the Bible here in just a few minutes. Psalms 119 is a long psalm. It is also a fascinating poem. It is quite a project, if you really think about it, and quite a project for the person who composed it. Psalms 119 takes us through the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and it takes us through that Hebrew alphabet, and it's interesting how it lays it out. In each section, each section corresponds to a letter in the alphabet, each section is composed of 8 verses. So 22 sections, 8 verses each, a total of 176 verses. And in each section, as it deals with a Hebrew letter of the alphabet, each sentence begins with the letter of that alphabet. So we lose that in our English translations. We just don't even see that. And so how that would play out is, if you think it through in English, you know, section 1 would be A, and there would be 8 sentences under A, and every sentence would begin with A. And so you'd have A, and then you go to B, 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 8 times over. And the author takes us through the alphabet that way, 8 times over each section for each letter of the alphabet. It's absolutely remarkable. Now, what's absolutely remarkable about that is there are 176 verses, and nearly every one of those verses refers to the Word of God. That's amazing. 22 sections, 8 sentences in each section, 176 verses, and nearly every one refers to the Word of God. There's only a few of them that don't. They refer to His laws, His testimonies, His precepts, His promises, His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, His Word. Just by way of illustration, I have you turn to Psalm 119. Let's read verses 9 through verse 16, the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Listen to how God's word is described here. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the ways of your testimonies I delight as in much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And you just keep reading through the psalm and it just keeps doing that over and over and over. You think about that. That's quite a project. That's quite an undertaking. We have a new associate pastor for youth discipleship. I was going to say he starts tomorrow, but he's here this morning, so we'll just say he starts today. Pastor David, you're on now. You begin immediately. Can you imagine our new associate pastor for youth discipleship assigning the members of the youth group, our junior hires and senior hires, a project like Psalm 119? Okay, kids, go home this next week from youth group. Go home and go through the alphabet. Write down 8 sentences that begin with the letter A, and every sentence has to correspond and relate and tell us something valuable and significant about the Word of God. And then when you get done with A, go to B, and then to C, and then to D, and then to E, and take us through the alphabet. I wonder how many of our students would actually pick that up and take that on. I wonder how many of our parents would actually enforce the kids doing it. If the youth were given an assignment like that to come up with what's 26 times 8? Somebody do the quick math. It's a lot of verses. It's a lot of sentences. I wonder how the kids would do. If you and I were given that assignment, how do you think we would do? What descriptions of the Word of God would you come up with? What words would you use to describe the Word of God? And could you come up with 176 sentences? And what are you going to do when you have to start every sentence with the letter Q? All right, I need to come up with 8 sentences that begin with the letter X, and they all have to relate. This is a big project. You know, this doesn't magically show up on the page. Someone actually composed this poem, right? This is a big deal. Well, that kind of thinking, as I read through the Psalms this weekend, as I read through Psalms 119, that kind of thinking spurred me on to a project and pressed me into preaching the Psalm this morning. Instead of coming up with 176 sentences like this psalmist did, describing the Word of God and giving words to it, I thought I would just come up with 1 sentence for each section. So there's 22 sections. I thought I'd come up with 1 sentence for each section that kind of summarizes that paragraph or that section. So here we go, and I didn't do very well because some sections got more than 1 sentence. I'm going to give you these to you on the slide, so don't try to write them down. It'd be like trying to record a 22-point sermon, right? It'd just be too hard. So just look at them, think of them as you read the psalm this past week. Verses 1 through 8, God's word is to be heard and practiced. Blessed are those who do it. Made me think of James when he said in the book of James, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Verses 9 through 16, God's word deeply rooted in the center of our life keeps us pure and clean. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. G. Campbell Morgan said, having God's word hidden in our heart is the best book in the best place for the best purpose. Verses 17 through 24, God's word is glorious. We are dependent upon God to open the eyes of our heart to see the wonder and the goodness of his word. This is important. If God's word is boring to you, lifeless, dull, then I would begin right here. God's word is glorious. And if I were you and God's word is just dull and boring and lifeless for you, I would urge you to go to God and plead with him to take his living book and make it alive to you. And then stay with it. Keep asking him and keep reading his word. It's glorious. But he's got to open your eyes so you might see its wonder and truth. So ask him for the help and keep reading God's word. Verses 25 through 32. God's word revives the perishing, strengthens the weak, teaches the humble, life and strength and instruction. This is good stuff. Verses 33 through 40, God's word is good. Looking into it keeps us from desiring what is worthless. Set our eyes on good things. Verse 41 through 48, God's word gives answers to life and hope to the living. Verses 49 through 56, God's word provides comfort and counsel. You know what that means? God's word makes a great companion and an even better counselor. Verse 57 through 64, God's word is foundational. Those who hear it and do it make for good people. This past Friday, we were at a funeral for Deb Stringer's mother, Libby Stringer. And at part of her service, they had friends stand up and just talk. And they just stood and just shared how wonderful that woman was. She had been discipled throughout her life by God's word. And she didn't just hear it, she did it, and her life was exceptional. It's great to hear that testimony. God's word is foundational. Those who hear it and do it make for good people. Good people make for good friends. Psalms verse 65 through 72, those who stray from God's word are afflicted. Those who return to God's word are blessed. 73 through 80, God's word is the owner's manual for what God has made. Belief and obedience bring joy and comfort. As we believe God and obey God, we fulfill our purpose. It brings joy and comfort. Unbelief and disobedience bring just the opposite. Verses 81 through 88, God's word provides perspective, patience, and perseverance. Verses 89 through 96, God's word gives life and light and salvation. 97 through 104, God's word is true, providing practical wisdom. Practical wisdom for daily life. 105 through 112, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path that provides illumination for today and shining light down the road of life. Verse 113 through 120, God's word guards the mind and protects the soul. 121 through 28, God's word is better than gold, better than fine gold. It gives instruction on what is just and right, good and true. 129 through 136, God's word is wonderful. Those who keep it walk in light. Those who do not keep it experience darkness and grief. 137 through 144, God's word is right and true. It reveals wrong and provides understanding of what is excellent. 145 through 152, God's word is worthy of our meditation and valuable for our protection. 153 through 160, God's word endures and is unchanging. As everything else is changing around us, as foundations crumble, God's word does not ever crumble. It's faithful and true and is unchanging. 161 through 68, God's word provides peace and stability. The final one, 169 through 176, God's word is the basis for our confident trust in God and our continual praise of him. Now, that's my 22-sentence summary of the 22 sections of Psalms 119. I would encourage you to do that same kind of project. Psalms 119 is long, but it's not that long. You can get through it in a half an hour, maybe 40 minutes. And read through it and look at each section, eight verses each. They all begin with the same letter of the alphabet. And read through it and come up with your own summary statement. I gave you 22. There was 176 made. That leaves 154 statements out. So you certainly can come up with some. I wonder how you would describe God's word. I wonder what descriptions you would give. I wonder what words you would use. You know, let's get practical. This is, we're pounding through this rather quickly. Let's get practical with this morning. Here at Emmanuel Bible Church, our purpose and our passion is to, wow. We probably ought to say this every Sunday too. You guys have this down. Our purpose and our passion is to bring God pleasure. Is God hard to please? How do we please God? Our purpose and our passion is to bring God pleasure by believing his word. We please God when we believe God. Our purpose and our passion is to bring God pleasure by believing his word and doing his will. Where is his will revealed? It's not some vague cloud out there that we're trying to figure out. His will is revealed in his word. Our purpose and our passion is to bring God pleasure by believing his word and doing his will and the power that he provides us as we trust in him for the praise of his glory. So foundational to our purpose is the word of God. Here at Emmanuel, not only do we have a purpose statement, we have values. What do we value around here? This is such a great test. You all need to come to the next starting point class. Because we cover these things so that everyone comes through, they know. And for us, these aren't just words on a page, particularly for those of us who are staff and elders here. These are warp and woof of everything we do. So we have a purpose statement. We have values. What do we value? We value the sovereignty of God and the supremacy of Jesus Christ and the sufficiency of the Holy Spirit and the standard of God's word. We value God and everything about him, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, his word. We have priorities. I'm going to quit asking because you guys are either really quiet or not sure you know. We have priorities here. What do we prioritize here at Emmanuel Bible Church? The word of God, the people of God, remembering Jesus in prayer. As a Bible church, we hold to the Bible as our source of truth and our authority for our belief and practice. It's what we run to when we've got questions regarding what we believe or how we live our life. As a Bible church, we continually say, Sunday after Sunday, take out your Bibles and turn to. And we seek to exposit a particular text. This one's unusual because it's so long, chapter 119, 176 verses. But week after week, we say, open your Bible, we read from it, and we seek to exposit it. We know where we're going in the preaching. We're not guessing, nor are we making up our own roadmap. This fall, we're going to study the book of Isaiah. This winter, we're going to go through the Gospel of Mark. Next spring, we're going to go through Jeremiah and Job and Jude. Now, as a Bible church, we're going to say, open your Bibles, and we're going to take you into it. Why? We actually believe that God does his work through his word. Therefore, we want to put ourselves in a place where God is working. God does his work through his word. We want to put ourselves in a place where God is working because we want him to change us. We're impotent. We're not very good at changing ourselves. God is powerful and he uses his work to change people. So we're going to put ourselves there all the time. We actually believe that God has revealed himself in his word so that we might know him, that we might believe him and be related to him by his grace through trusting in his provision, namely the person of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 9 says this, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. What's greater than wealth, wisdom, and power? What's greater than wealth, wisdom, and power? God's word and knowing him. Here at Emmanuel Bible Church, we have a team of leaders. We call them elders. We use the biblical term of elders. It doesn't mean they're old. Kyle Sissel was up here earlier in the service, and he read from Psalms for us today as a scripture reading. He's not an old man, but the elders are strictly the leaders of this congregation. And as leaders of this congregation, they have a primary purpose. There is something they must do. They must make sure that we stay true to God's word. They've got to. You know, it's interesting around here, people often ask, you know, what do the elders do? What do the elders do? Do you understand it's more important who they are than what they do? Because if you read through the Bible and you look at what it says about elders, it gives lists of qualifications. And if they be the right people, they'll do the right kind of things. So if you look in your Bible, it has more to say about who they are than what they do. But the one thing they must do, they must handle the word of God faithfully. And they must keep this church on the rails of God's word. If they fail there, no matter what they're doing elsewhere, if they fail there, we're all in trouble. right? We might as well pack up and head somewhere else. Yeah, so the elders of this church, their primary purpose is to make sure that we stay true to God's word. So God's word, Psalms 119, 176 verses, nearly every one of them proclaims the excellencies, the value, the worth, the necessity of God's word to us. God's word and God as himself as revealed in his word, this is central to us. There's no close second. God's word and God himself revealed in his word is central to us. His word is very dear to us. Therefore, the Bible for this church is not on the periphery. The Bible isn't bouncing around in the back window of our car. No, we're taking God's word and we want to press it deeply into our heart and mind and life. We want to be conformed to it, transformed by it. It's a powerful living book. And more than anything, we want to know God through the book that he has authored. We want to know him well. So Psalms 119, it's the longest psalm in the Bible, proclaims the excellencies of God's word on every line. And for this Sunday, it makes for a good Sunday morning reminder. Just makes for a good Sunday morning reminder. Nothing new here. Nothing you haven't heard before. This is a good reminder. This week, you and I would have read Psalm 111 through 119. What psalm would you have chosen to preach on? And what message would you have brought? Everyone is valuable, and everyone has a message to bring. Which one would you have chosen? I chose the psalm none of you thought I would choose. And did it on purpose. 176 verses, each one proclaiming the treasure of God's word. For those of you who are regulars here, you attend here regularly, you're members here, this sermon is a good reminder. For those of you who are guests here and visitors here, I can confidently tell you, if you want to know your Bible, and if you want to know God who has revealed himself in his word, as a church, we're centered on it, and we're quite serious about not moving from it. If you want a life that's built on just a solid foundation, we have a foundation to point you toward. It's the truth of God's word, and it's the rock of Christ Jesus. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, your book is an amazing book, written down by men of your choosing who were carried along by your Spirit, who authored and inspired truth concerning yourself, concerning ourselves, concerning our need, concerning the salvation you have planned for before time, carried out in time through the Son, your Son, Jesus Christ, applied to us by your Spirit. Father, we are grateful for this book that you've authored. If you did not reveal yourself to us, we'd be guessing and making things up. We're so glad we're not in the dark. We're so glad that you've given us a light in the book that you have given us. It shines light on our today and on our tomorrows. It reveals to us your will. It is good. It is glorious. It is wonderful. Continue to open our eyes to the truth and the majesty and the glory of your word. And as your people, may we be good students of it, people who handle the word of God well, study it diligently, preach it faithfully, and direct our lives according to its principles. Father, we thank you for the treasure that you've given us in your word, and we praise you for it this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.